Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, local psychologist Lakeisha Gant on her run for Athens Clark County Mayor.
From a skill standpoint, it's built my skill to navigate complex systems and communities that have complex dynamics.
Then, an opportunity for Northeast Georgians to discuss vaccines.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you. Through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Dr. Lakeisha Gant is a psychologist and native Athenian who graduated from the University of Georgia. She is currently a member of the Clark County School District Board of Education, representing parts of Southwest Athens in District 7. She declared last week that she is running for mayor of Clark County and sat down with WUGA's Alexandra Tillman to discuss her platform. Here's their conversation.
I know that you're a busy woman, so I can get straight into it. Would you mind telling me why you're running for the mayor of Athens?
You know, it's something I've thought about sort of off and on. I have sort of wondered, like, why is this pull on my heart that I need to do something? So I am a native Athenian. I was born here, raised here, went to school here, raised my children here. And, you know, for a long time as a young person and a young adult, I did not realize how politics shaped my life. And so it was not until probably recently, within the past 10 years or so, that I knew my experiences that I've had here, which have been positive experiences, but there have also been some struggles as well, be they, you know, my own struggles or families or neighbors. But it wasn't until I entered the world of like advocacy and work that it evolved to understanding how important it is for people, one, to be connected to the communities that they serve, and to have some type of relationship with this community beyond, you know, just being here or moving here. And so as I was sort of realizing this and I was working in schools, I decided at some point to run for school board. It was a lot of work. It was hard work, but it was clarifying work. And it helped consolidate the fact that our schools are microcosms of the communities that we're in. And if we want to see strides in our schools, we have to also be intentional about the community. And so that then evolved to me thinking, I need to do more than advocacy. I need to do more than creating a space for unheard voices, that there may be a way that I can contribute to our efforts to make Athens a better place. So yeah, then I thought about it for a while, and then I decided there's no better time than now. And I believe my experiences have shaped me and uniquely prepared me to carry the voices of unheard, regular, everyday people, and to begin to lead the way to make changes for marginalized people, people who have been here all their lives, or they've been here a good bit of their lives, but we just have sort of the same thing in common, and that's our desire to live, to survive, and to thrive. And so I see my campaign as an opportunity for us to collectively, those of us that care about Athens, who have been impacted in both positive ways and not so positive ways, to lead that conversation, but also to lead the work.
The road that you're on, I was looking at your record and everything, like that is a very distinct road. And I wanted to ask about the preparation that you mentioned before, like working as the president of the Board of Education in Athens. How has that given you a perspective on what Athens needs?
In many ways, this experience has been preparing me, be it simply by remaining connected with our community and the struggles that we continue to experience, be it through figuring out how does this then make its way into a policy, or maybe it doesn't make its way into a policy, but how then, what are the implications for this for practice? And so it has prepared me on a lot of different fronts, from also being a liaison, helping, you know, be that in-between person with regards to the budget. It has prepared me in a way that is hard to describe, but certainly from a skill standpoint, it's built my skill to navigate complex systems and communities that have complex dynamics.
Yes, yes. What does a better Athens look like for you?
To me, if I could wave a magic wand, and I know that I can't, not in like 4 years, and honestly, maybe not in 8, not in 12, you know, a lot of the problems that we experience now, they've been decades in the making. But to me, a better Athens looks like our city workers having better wages. It looks like us partnering with organizations and communities that serve our underrepresented populations, in addition to our underrepresented and marginalized populations, communities that are experiencing poverty, our veteran population, our elderly. It looks like people being able to stay in their homes and not be taxed out because of development. It looks like more small and minority businesses thriving. We have millions of dollars that come through Athens. The goods and services that we pay for, a lot of times that money does not make it into our small minority businesses. It looks like people having a place to live that is affordable. And that is a huge task, but I believe that we can make small steps to make that a reality. It looks like better mental health services, better collaboration between a wonderful community of mental health clinicians that we have. It looks like better supporting families. And so there are a lot of different ways in which we can dream. There are a lot of steps, even if they seem small, that we can take. But it takes, I think, people being connected to the realities of what we experience. It takes bold leadership. And so, like, yeah, the Athens that I imagine is one that where we slowly sort of turn this ship and we start moving towards a common goal of everybody thriving. But before we can get there, we have to turn the ship and move towards people being able to survive here. So that takes me back to like wages. We got to be able to stay in our homes and we got to be able to support families. It also means that we are intentionally creating supports, looking at systems to be sure that we are not unintentionally marginalizing people and that we are not intentionally criminalizing things that really are not crimes, but they are truly a result of being poor, a result of being oppressed, a result of being closed out, and a result of being just not supported and not having that infrastructure, that historical infrastructure and support that others have. Mm. There are a lot of people who have been either shut out or just unheard, or maybe they have a degree of like apathy. They don't believe that their representatives represent them. And actually not even that, but they don't even feel that their voices matter anymore. And I think people ask, well, why are you running for mayor? And of course, it's to win. But there are also other goals. I want people to see themselves in the decisions that are made. And if that starts with them seeing themselves in my campaign, in our campaign, and then if that intrigues them, and then it energizes them, and then it gives them something to fight for, then the goal of my campaign is met. And so, yes, it's about securing the mayor position. It's also about re-engaging, re-energizing, and hopefully giving people a place of validation and hope who feel like their needs have not been listened to.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.
Lakeisha Gant is running for mayor of Athens-Clark County. The election is next year. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Here Now brings you the latest news from around the country.
I have a life brimming with people who've made different choices, and I've never tried in my personal life to impose my choices on them.
Seems to me that people are being responsible, and yet it keeps spreading.
I've been door knocking and making phone calls and working in offices. I'm willing to do anything for this man.
Hear the latest news as it develops on the next Here and Now from NPR News.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Debate rages around the country about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. Dr. David S. Lockman is a retired physician who is organizing a town hall discussion about vaccines at the Clark County Library on October 1st at 6 p.m. He sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss the event and dig into some immunization-related questions. Here's that conversation.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your professional background?
So I'm a physician. I've been practicing in Athens since the early 80s. I did an infectious disease fellowship at the Medical College of Georgia, and I'm boarded in infectious diseases. I'm retired, and I have no conflicts of interest. And I'm not in any professional organizations at this point.
So you will be hosting a town hall on vaccinations on October 1st. Can you tell us about what's motivating you to hold this town hall?
So a couple things happened. One is I turned 80, and that sounds old. And one thing that happens when you're 80 is your lymphocytes don't work as well. You know, when you take a vaccine, you need a higher dose generally. And I like basketball, and I want to go to some of the basketball games. And I want my community, I want to nudge my community to keep me safe. And my wife's immunosuppressed, so if she comes with me, that's another issue. So I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but I want you to be a little bit worried about the octogenarians.
Why have things kind of changed this year in terms of vaccine information?
One thing RFK Jr. and I share is I do not want to give anybody medical advice. I have a license to do that. He doesn't. So when he was elevated to be Secretary of Health and Human Services and our president said, go wild on health. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I think his dismantling of the CDC has been a problem for public health and vaccinations in particular.
So one question I think a lot of people ask is, haven't the diseases we vaccinate for gone away? Is that something you'll address?
So, you know, one advantage of being 80 is I've seen a lot of them. You know, I really admire people that do public health, but if they do their job, you never see them because the diseases aren't there. So if they promote vaccines for measles, mumps, rubella, you don't see those diseases, you don't think about them. But make no mistake, they're still there. And if we don't have a way to suppress them in us and in the community, they will reappear.
Can you tell us a little bit about whether or not there are real risks to getting vaccinated?
For sure. There definitely are. It comes down to, you know, benefit-risk ratios. But yes, every time you do an intervention, on somebody in medicine, there's a potential risk, but the risk pale in comparison to the risk of the disease. So I know with COVID we don't see it so much anymore. It's still here. You can look in the wastewater and see a fair amount of it, and it will be back in the fall. So I'm not honestly sure where all the fear of the COVID vaccine came from, but my reading and my understanding is that it's a very safe vaccine with a modestly new technology. It's actually an older technology, but you know, what we have to do in our lives is separate signal from noise. So that's not just true in medicine. That's true in your life. And there's a lot of noise, and you just have to find a way to separate yourself out from the noise to look for the signal.
Dr. Lockman, thank you for sitting down with me.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Dr. David S. Lockman will organize a town hall event about vaccines on October 1st at 6 p.m. at the Clark County Library. African Perspectives is WUGA's longest-running show. Hosted by the University of Georgia's Dr. Akinlui Ojo, professor of comparative literature, it explores music and news stories from the continent of Africa. This fall, it will turn 28 years old. Dr. Ojo sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss this major milestone. Here's their conversation.
Can you give us an overview of how you decided to start the show?
Oh, thank you so much. It's nice to be on the show, and I feel very excited being on this side of the microphone. African Perspectives actually started in 1997, and it wasn't a kind of original idea. It was a plan by the African Student Union. At that time, I was a graduate student at the University of Georgia. And so we felt we needed to do something. I got elected as a cultural officer. So I came up with the idea, why don't we have a show or some spot on local radio station? So we put together a proposal, and it was to WUOG, which was the student radio station. And it was approved, and we were so excited. And then, as luck would have it, the manager then, who was a student manager, like, oh, have you all paid your activity fee? And in those days, you had the option of waiving the activity fee. So it turns out all the two or three of us that went for the recording didn't pay our activity fee. So, well, she said, you can't have a show. So we gave up that idea, but I didn't let it go. So personally, after the executive, I decided maybe we'll just keep doing whatever else we can do to advertise or publicize our group. I now decided to rewrite the proposal, and I brought it to WUGA. And so the worst that could happen is they'll say no. So I submitted it to Rob Holmes, who was the program manager at that time. And surprisingly, he sent me an email that, yes, they would like to give it a shot. And so I was invited. I prepared a script. And so that's how African Perspective was born.
And 1 hour is pretty long mm-hmm. for a show. Right. I produce a half-hour show, right. And it is, oh my goodness, it can stress me out. Yeah. So can you tell me, I mean, you are reporting right. on the entire continent of Africa,
that's right.
all the music mm-hmm. from the many, many societies that are right. in Africa.
Right.
And I'm sure that helps with mm-hmm. being able to fill the time. But can you tell me a little bit more about that?
The music selection has always been such that I have my own personal interest, but I try my best not to lean so much on what I like. So in my past life, I was a DJ, and that's one lesson I learned as a DJ. If you play only what you like, you're not going to really get a lot of people listening or being part of your show. So we try to service different populations. And faculty on campus, for a long time, have always shown interest. Oh, you never play this music, you never. So we respond to that. And then the people in the community also, as I said, we actually get not just request. We get people sending in CDs. you should play number four on this track and so on. And so we've incorporated all that. So over the years, I mean, it's 29 years now, which sometimes makes you feel like, wow, we didn't think it would last this long. We've always had a team effort. So I end up being the voice or the face of the show, but there's a lot of people that put in effort in making it work. So we've gotten used to doing a one-hour show, but as you said, it does take a lot of effort, but thank God we have a very dedicated team working with us.
Do you have any stories about connecting with Athenians over your show? Moments where you've said, you know, I have really played a role in representing the continent of Africa here in Athens.
People say, you know, a lot of the news that you cover, I can hardly find them in popular news. I say, actually, we don't source the news ourselves. We report from different websites, the BBC, allafrica.com, even VOA and CNN. But what happens is that most of the news items that we feature are often not like the lead on those websites. So we kind of search. And also because I'm a faculty in the African Studies Institute, I have colleagues who want something about their own country or their area of interest where they do their research to be featured. So, for example, we've done a lot of shows on this current civil war in Sudan, but that has been fueled by faculty members who have always made a voice heard. Like, nobody is talking about Sudan. What is going on? It's always Ukraine. It's always Middle East. Like, yeah, we don't really want to wage wars against each other, but I appreciate that. So I've done a lot of focus on the Sudanese war because very often nobody's really talking about it. So that's how we've kind of gotten the show to get everybody involved. And in doing so, we've kind of become a voice for African programming on campus, but also increase people's interest off campus.
Well, Dr. Ojo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Dr. Akinlui Ojo is the host of WUGA's longest-running show, African Perspectives, which will turn 28 years old this fall. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer and Kate Regan. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.